Behind the eyes of British satirist and illustrator Ralph Steadman, you'll find a curiously gentle man who's horrified and repelled by American culture. Steadman is best known in this country for his savage drawings that accompanied gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson's books and articles in the late 60s and 70s. With Thompson, Steadman went to the Kentucky Derby, yacht races at Newport, Rhode Island, the 1972 Democratic Convention in Miami Beach, and Washington, D.C. for a summer of Watergate hearings. Fortunately, Steadman doesn't come to the U.S. very often. He's illustrated a new book entitled Scar-Strangled Banger, based on his travels here during the 70s and 80s. He's included some biting commentary and observations, and I asked Ralph Steadman how his travels through America with Hunter Thompson changed him forever.
It was that which I think deranged me. I was such a naive, you see, an innocent abroad. And I responded to the screaming lifestyle by just, lashing out with drawings of... I used blood clots, actually. I didn't use ink at the time. I just sort of dipped it into anything that looked red and made myself as obnoxious as I could in retaliation.
Well, as I wheel through your book, Scar-Spangled Banger, I realize, you know, that you see America in the form of all-night liquor stores, Saturday night specials, those huge Gestapo-like policemen, White House characters playing in a pen filled with excrement. People would think that you hate America from looking at those pictures.
No, I probably enjoy drawing those sort of people. I mean, drawing nice people is no fun, you know. There's nothing to get your teeth into. No. That's why there's no good people saying, well, they're rather savage and unpleasant, or they're rather this or that, which are not a compliment. Well, what's the point of being like that if, in fact, the idea of satire is to genuinely pinpoint something, or, if I use a better phrase, nail it, you know?
I know you had that list of odd jobs that so many artists
yes.
have, and you went in the service. What was the thing that really made your work take off?
I think probably it was finding that seam in me which was alerted by Hunter S. Thompson. I think that's what started it. I think he suddenly realized something, that he had met somebody like myself who was looking at something as though for the first time, and that he'd forgotten how it looked because he got used to it.
You and, let's say, daredevil writer Hunter Thompson, who first introduced you to America, you traveled around together, and there are all those stories about, you know, the two of you in this sort of alcohol and drug-induced state,
yes.
you know, cruising around America and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Did you get in trouble with your relatives when those stories came out?
My relatives? I don't think they really understood what I was doing. I just think they felt it was part of my work. Take my mother, for instance. She's in her 80s now, and she felt that it was just... She didn't quite connect. She couldn't. I mean, she'd never been abroad in her life, and she couldn't connect with such a thing that I might be doing. And I don't think she ever thought for a moment that my taking drugs was anything more than taking an aspirin. And I didn't take them that often. I mean, it was just something that I guess I got curious about, but I found that it was completely unsuited to my nature, which is already in a mess. You know, I mean, got some kind of a garbage can down there, which only takes a Valium to upset. So I don't really use drugs very often, or if at all now.
What did your own kids think at the time?
Fascinated by it, actually. But you think that I was a bad example as a father, because I've got five children. And there I was, careering around the place, being totally irresponsible.
Well, let me ask you this. Did they get conservative in reaction to you?
Yes, except one of them did begin sniffing glue. I don't really have that phenomenon over here. I think it's gone out a bit over there in England. And I wrote to Hunter about it, saying, you know about these chemical substances. What do I do about my son? And he said to me, how do you, Ralph, expect to go around the world drawing denatured pictures? Or look, Maggie Thatcher and Ronald Reagan looked like denatured pigs. And you expect your son not to want to sniff glue. Nobody is privy to that kind of logic. It doesn't seem to make sense. So you can expect some kind of help. But I tell you what, he said, send the little bugger over to me with a certified check for $10,000 and I'll straighten the little bugger out. Kids are like television sets. They need a whack on the head from time to time.
Did you do it?
No. But in fact, I showed him the letter. He did actually stop. It's extraordinary. Hunter could be a very good child psychologist, you know, or advisor on psychological problems. You know, he gave Theo something to laugh at. That's my son, but it did help. Well, he stopped taking it, so I guess it works. You know, people get too pious, perhaps, about what one should do and what one shouldn't do, particularly when counselling the young.
Have you ever been afraid of someone's reaction to your work?
You mean like a punch in the mouth or something? Perhaps that. I don't like physical violence, but that's why I get rid of it in my drawings.
Have you ever been sued?
Once, for a drawing I did of a man called Charles Forte. Trust House Fortes are quite a well-known chain of hotels around Europe, anyway. I don't know whether he has them in America. But I once did a collage. I didn't draw a single line. I did a collage of his face made up of actual photographs of chickens' breasts and legs and sausages and Neapolitan ice creams, making up his face with coffee cup for one eye, and his moustache was made of sausages, and his hair was sausages, and he had a chicken leg for a nose, and the top of his forehead was a chicken's breast, and it looks so like him, and he's all about food, but bad food, you know. He does bad food on motorways, you know, freeways you call them, and it seems to me that. That really upset him in such a way. Well, he did sue me. It was sued out of court. I mean, we settled out of court because it was done for the Sunday Times in London.
Have your victims, shall we say, ever requested the original drawing from you?
It happened once or twice, but I've preferred not to give them. You know, it makes them so much. They think you give them to them. That's what I usually find is the case. They feel that I'm going to be so flattered to be asked by some people that. To give them the cartoon, that I should just give it to them. But I'd rather either charge them an enormous amount, which they couldn't pay, or keep the drawing.
You know, I'm always intrigued with what America chooses for art on her postage stamps. And I read that you did a stamp once. What was it like?
Well, it was rather romantic. I did Halley's Comet, you know, that went over last year.
Uh-huh.
And I did a set of four pictures of the comet in various places in relation to the Earth as it was coming towards it. And I did one other one which they refused to use, and it was a picture of the Ethiopians on the Earth and the Halley's Comet going over, beautiful in it, all its beauty and everything about it, so looking gorgeous, and being completely indifferent to what was happening on the Earth. It was just passing by. And I think I called it Earthly Bodies, Heavenly Bodies. And it was refused because they felt it was rather too political, and they didn't want to say anything like that on a stamp.
Well, do generations raised on TV understand the power of cartoons and illustrations?
Do they or will they? I think they become rather blasé about them, or are rather immune to their power, because, as I say, they're treated in newspapers as a very sort of poor relation to the rest of the newspaper, rest of the content. There's something to fill a space, and kids treat them that way. But they are potent images when they're at their best. I mean, when I think of things like Goya, people like Goya and Hogarth and George Grosz during the Weimar Republic days in Germany, they were doing images which were unrelenting in their commitment, and that's what I think is missing now. And the papers tend to want just safe images which just fill a space, and of course they're not going to be impressed. Young people being brought up on television today, they get too many powerful images on television. They're not going to bother with a cartoon unless it hits them between the eyes.
But you're going to keep going.
Yes, but I must tell you that as I get older, and I am getting older now, I'm getting more philosophic, and I'm doing a book at the moment on God. But it's a thunderbolt, a sort of a non-partisan thunderbolt from above. And it's something I have to do now to be non-partisan, not to look at it. I realize now that it isn't about good and bad in our, you know, that are good people and bad people and bad will change. I do think that we're all pretty lousy.
Ralph Steadman's new book, Scar-Strangled Banger, is published by Salem House. You're listening to Fresh Air.